This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
Now, we are here tonight on Wednesday evening. John chapter 3 is where we're going to be. As you know, this is the week we preached a message under the original the goodness of God on Sunday. But the opening theme on Sunday was Palm Sunday, which was the Lord Jesus Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem as he fulfilled prophecy going in that day. And as the people proclaimed him, Hosanna in the highest, the Son of David, they proclaimed him as Christ, as the Messiah, as he went in that day. And they gathered the palms and they waved them back and forth, symbolizing the Holy Spirit of God. Well, several events occurred up until the point that we are today on Wednesday. And if we were to take our time here tonight at 7:30 or 7:29 in the evening time, Jesus Christ would have already been crucified today. His body would have been taken off of the cross because it was Passover week, the festival week. They had to take the bodies off of the crosses before sundown. Okay? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was buried in a grave or in a tomb on Wednesday evening. Okay? Wednesday evening. Now, remember in the book of Genesis and in chapter 1, it says in the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning was the second day. The Hebrew calendar of time, when the day sets, when the sun sets, say on Wednesday, that is the beginning of their Thursday. Do you understand? The beginning of their Thursday. So Jesus Christ was in the grave 3 days and three nights. So in other words, he was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He was there Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, 3 nights and 3 days. Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave on Sunday morning, as we see Sunday morning. He rose from the grave at sundown on what we call Saturday night, sundown on the seventh day. And so we need to understand that here this evening. But we're not going to get that far as we're looking at it tonight, because today, this mid part of the week, was when Jesus Christ was crucified and buried into a grave for 3 days and three nights. We're going to look at the cross this evening, amen. You may have picked that up with the songs that we sang earlier this evening. But in John chapter 3, and let's all stand, if you will, tonight as we honor the reading of the Word of God. John and chapter 3, the Bible tells me, John and chapter 3, and in verse 14, it says, "In Moses, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for the blessed night, the time and opportunity that you've given us to be here together. We pray this evening that the Holy Spirit of God will rule and reign in our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Father, that you in touch and tender the lives this evening, dear God, that will be moved to bring glory unto the name of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, let us examine the cross tonight. Let us look at the cross tonight. Let us have great gratitude, Father, and affection toward the cross. Lord, we thank you for giving your only begotten Son that we may have eternal life because of the sacrifice paid on that cross. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for all that you have done. In Christ's precious name we ask, amen and amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. And again, the Bible says there in John 3 and 14, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up." Beloved, Jesus Christ opens up with this illustration here, referring, as many of you know, to the brazen serpent in the wilderness. You'll find that in Numbers chapter 21, verses 6 through 9. Don't turn there now. I'll read you one verse in a moment. But I want you to see this tonight, that the serpent is the picture of sin. It is the example of sin. The serpent is the picture of sin in our life. Now, if you study out the Bible, you'll see over there in the book of Exodus in chapter 27. Don't turn. Write it down. You can look later on. But in Exodus chapter 27 and verse 2, you'll see that this altar, this fiery brazen altar that God appointed his people to build inside the tabernacle there, inside the outer court, he built that altar there, and that is the fiery altar, and he covered that shittim wood with brass. Okay, now that was the burning altar. That was the brazen altar where they took the sacrifice and they put it on top of there and they burned it and they made the pans to take the ashes. And we went over the tabernacle last year. But I'm here to tell you this, that as the serpent is the picture of sin, Brass is the picture of judgment. Brass is the picture of judgment as that judgment seat, if you will, where the sacrifice was paid for. So we find that the people in the wilderness over there, the Israelis, the Israelites, as they wandered in the wilderness, they spoke evil against the Lord, and that is sin as we know it. Therefore, the Lord sent fiery serpents to bite them. Under the Lord's directions, Moses made this brazen altar in Numbers 21. And the Bible says in Numbers 21, verse 8, it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it," speaking of the brazen serpent that was hanging in the wilderness, risen in the wilderness, "when they look upon it, shall live." So whosoever was bit by a fiery serpent, beloved, when they looked upon that brazen serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness, they would be able to live. Friend, I'm going to tell you this tonight, that if you'll listen carefully, you'll get a keen understanding of what Moses was instructed to do in the wilderness due to the people's sin. We find that mankind today has been bitten by a fiery serpent. Mankind today has been bitten by a fiery serpent. That is the serpent of sin unto death. The serpent of sin unto death. Friend, looking over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn over there real quickly with me. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. I want you to see this here tonight with the idea in your mind of John chapter 3 and verse 14, where it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, the Son of Man, be lifted up." In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus Christ said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That's that brazen serpent. It's the type of Christ. It was made sin for us. And Christ Jesus bore our sin upon the judgment of the cross. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Beloved, the cross, when the cross is spoken of, whether it's around saved people or whether it's around lost people, it leaves a chilling feeling deep down inside their bones. Listen, anybody that hears about the cross, and I understand that the preaching of the cross within the parish is foolishness. People don't understand why somebody had to die for them. But when you talk about a cross, when you talk about a crucifixion, when you talk about a man being scourged and nailed to a piece of wood and placed up on an upright for all to look upon, when a man was beaten beyond recognition, when a man suffered and died the shameful death of a crucifixion, it brings chill to a person's bones, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. Beloved, to some, the cross is a place of victory. To some, the cross is a picture of atonement for mankind. To others, the cross is a place of destruction. It is a picture of shame that removes all excuses from their life not to be saved. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that the cross is a scene that we must never soon forget. The place of the cross, the sacrificial lamb, in one single act, in one swift mood, carried the sin of the world and took it away for all mankind. And that's called the cross of Christ. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands died on a cross. Millions were probably crucified by the Roman Empire, but there was only one crucifixion that took the sin of the world away. The Bible speaks of the cross, beloved, and it is the cross of Christ that brings us eternal life tonight. Look over in John in chapter 9, and we find here that the Bible speaks. The Bible speaks when it talks about the cross. It speaks of the wonder in the cross. It speaks of the wonder in the cross. John in chapter 19 and in verse 17, the Bible says, "And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." Beloved, it's an amazing thought just to sit there and think about that for a second. I've been in that location over there, the side of the hillside there. It looks like a skull shaped into the wall. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. When you start to think, all my sin, all of my wretched life, all of my wicked thoughts, all of my wicked actions, all the things that I've done in this world today, the Lord Jesus Christ would go to the cross and suffer a shameful death for me. That's an amazing thought tonight. That is an amazing thought that some 2,000 years before I was ever even thought of in this world, the man Christ Jesus went to the cross and died for me. Knowing what that I would do, knowing what I would commit, knowing the way I would be, and Jesus Christ still tonight went to the cross for me. There is a wonder in the cross of Calvary. You know what one of the wonders of the cross of Calvary is? It reveals Christ's love. It reveals God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed him should not perish but have everlasting life. And listen, it reveals Christ's love. Jesus Christ said himself, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The cross of Calvary. The Bible speaks of the wonder in the cross. It reveals Christ's love. It reveals Christ's sacrifice. Now, remember the brazen serpent in the wilderness? Moses said over there, or God said over there in Numbers 21, verse 8, he says that when you got that brazen serpent lifted up off the ground, and when those fiery serpents are coming to bite those sinful people, when they're bitten by that picture of sin, if they'll just look up at that brazen serpent, the Bible says they'll live. The Bible speaks of the wonder of the cross. It reveals Christ's sacrifice. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, you know what we're supposed to do in our life today? We are to look unto Jesus, amen. When the problems come into our life, when struggles come into our life, listen, when sin comes into your life, you can't look unto man, you can't look unto finances, you can't even look unto your spouse, you gotta look unto Christ, amen. You gotta look up when he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. There's a wonder in the cross. It reveals Christ's love. It reveals Christ's sacrifice. Friend, it reveals Christ's power. John said over there in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'll tell you what, that's power, say amen. That's power right there to cleanse you from all sin, all the wickedness that you've done in your life. One man died on a cross and rose from a grave and cleansed you from every bit of that. What an amazing power that's exclaimed to cleanse us from all sin, to remove the blood-stained garments of our life, to remove the stain that descended down from the fall of man. The cross of Christ possessed a love that man has never known. The cross of Christ possessed a sacrifice that man cannot understand. The cross of Christ possessed a power from beyond this universe. As Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Beloved, the Bible speaks of the wonder in the cross. Secondly, though, the Bible speaks, look over there in the book of John, turn back a couple chapters. The Bible speaks of the work in the cross. Now, I know I realize work is a four-letter word today. It actually is a four-letter word, but it's a foreign four-letter word in many of our life. People don't like to work today. For the most part, men are lazy today. Somebody say amen to that. Ladies, help me out there, ladies. Men are flat lazy today in society. I hear, oh, it's just too hard for me to do. I think about the wonder in the cross, but I also think about the work of the cross. And I'll tell you this, it will be a cold day in hell before I say it's too hard for me to serve my Lord. It's too hard for me to go to church. It's too hard for me to read my Bible. It's too hard for me to get up and do something for God. It's too hard for me to pray. It's too hard for me to serve Him. It's too hard for me to witness. It'll be a cold day in hell today when I say that. When my Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, it wasn't easy, but He went anyway. There's a work in the cross. Say amen. The Bible tells me in John chapter 17, look over there with me in the first five verses. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, oh boy, is that not enduring love. He said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Boy, that messes up the Unitarian Universalist, amen. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. That's a work. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me in thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Friend, I'm here to tell you this evening that the Bible speaks of a work that is in the cross. Hey, listen, the work of the cross, what was performed, that which was done. Listen, the cross of Christ extended throughout the realm of mankind. The mighty work of the cross. Hey, listen, it's evident in the lives of people across this entire globe tonight. But Jesus Christ then came down here to this earth for 33.5 years, and He performed a work. You know one of the works that He performed in that cross, beloved, is He removed sin. The Bible tells me in John chapter 1, when He introduced John, when we see John the Baptist's testimony, and he introduces his cousin, 6 months younger than he. In verse 29, he says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It removes sin. That's the work of the cross. It removes sin. Secondly, we find that it redeems us from the curse. Turn over to Galatians with me. Let's look at that. We didn't have sword drills this evening, and I know y'all want them. Y'all so good. Amen. Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians in chapter 3, we find that the work of the cross, that which was performed, it removed sin, number one. Number two, it redeemed us from the curse. It redeemed us from the curse. Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible tells me, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It redeemed us. It means to buy us back, to buy up, to ransom, to rescue from loss. That's what redeem means. And that's what the cross did for you and I. The curse that was placed us into bondage, that placed us into slavery to sin and death, was bought up. It was a ransom paid in full on the cross of Christ. Had there been no cross, there would have been no redemption. Say amen. The high cost of the life that was the only begotten Son of God was the price of the redemptive work upon the cross. The redemption of this world that was cursed by sin. That was the work of the cross tonight. The work of the cross, we find, is the removal of sin. We find it redeemed us from the curse, but we also see that it reconciled us to God. See, we're not only saved from sin, but we're saved unto a Savior. We're saved from something, and we're saved to something. Paul said over there, to wit, means to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He says down there later on in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, that be ye reconciled unto God. That's why Jesus Christ came down here and died for His creation, so that His creation could be reconciled back unto the Father. We had to be bought back because sin owned us. He had to remove sin in order to come, because God can't look upon iniquity, the Bible tells me. So the work of the cross was to remove sin, it was to redeem us from the curse, and then it was to reconcile us unto God. D.L. Moody said, look at what He is and what He has done and not at what you are. And beloved, I believe tonight, and I believe you believe the same thing, I believe it's not about us. Somebody say amen to that. It's not about us. It's not about you and I. It's not about our pain. It's not about our suffering. It's not about our glory. It's not about our pats on the back. It's not about our comfort tonight. Hey, it's not even about our fun. Amen. I like to have fun. Y'all know that. I like to have a good time. I like pick. But there's time and place for it. Amen. I'm going to tell you this tonight, that it's just not about us. We need to look at what He did. Amen. We need to look at who He is. Amen. We need to look at the work of the cross and what He did for us and how He did it for us and the price that was paid so that you and I may live tonight. The Bible speaks of the work of the cross. The Bible speaks of the wonder of the cross. Turn over to the book of Mark with me. Mark chapter 1. We find finally tonight that the Bible speaks the way of the cross. The way of the cross. Mark in chapter 1, there was a way of the cross. Mark chapter 1 verse 3. Here again, speaking of John the Baptist. Verse 3 says, and a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make His paths straight. John the Baptist was preparing the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preparing the way, not unto the kingdom, but preparing the way unto the cross. What began in death, ended in life. That was the way of the cross, friend. The way of the cross reveals faith in Christ. John again 3:15 was said that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. We read that earlier in our opening text. If you believe tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, now if you believe that with a repenting spirit toward Him, that's your faith. Faith is not holding back on the world over here and believing on Christ over here but holding one foot over there. That's not faith tonight. Jesus Christ said He can't serve two masters. Amen. Can't serve God and mammon. You'll hold the one and hate the other. Listen, you can't do it. But the way of the cross is faith in Christ. Amen. Bible tells me by grace you're saved. Amen. By faith, through grace, you're saved. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. Listen, that is what we need to understand tonight. That the way of the cross, the way that was prepared, even by the one crying out, the voice crying out in the wilderness, is faith in Christ, number one. The way of the cross is to forsake self. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I think there's something over here in the book of Luke. Look over in Luke chapter 9, and I think we'll find something there about forsaking self. We live in a world today that is money hungry. We live in a world today that is pleasure hungry. We live in a world today that is self hungry. It wants to please itself and forsake everyone else. Amen. And I think you ought to help people anyway. That's the way he ought to be. Forsake self. Luke chapter 9, going to run over there. Verse 23, it says, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, and let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Beloved, it was Paul that said, "For me to live is Christ." Amen. To die is gain. He said again in Romans 12 that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said that we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He said, in doing so, he said, that's your reasonable service. The word reason means something acceptable, not something too extreme. Amen? If you are trying to work a deal with somebody, you say, well, isn't this a reasonable conclusion? Isn't this a reasonable solution? Is not this a reasonable situation? Is not this a reasonable outcome? You mean that it's comfortable? It's by the bare minimum. The Lord is telling us that us presenting our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him, that's our reasonable service. The way of the cross is faith in Christ. The way of the cross is to forsake self. The way of the cross, beloved, is a fulfilled service. Oh, Paul said over there, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, the life that I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friend, I'll tell you tonight, that right there, that's the way of the cross. It's a fulfilled service. I've told you time and time again that at the end of my days, I would love for them just to be able to say that he made a difference. A good difference, amen. I mean, I'm not looking for my name to be in lights. I'm not looking to have the tallest tombstone. I'm not looking for my name to be on the billboards. I'm not looking for any of that thing. I just want by the end of my days when God, hey, when either He comes back, it ain't going to matter then. But I want a testimony that He made a difference. I don't want to just scurry through life. Amen. I want to make a difference in someone's life. A good difference, praise God. Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 14, he said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. He said, because we thus judge that if one died for all, that we're all dead. He died for all that they which live should not henceforth live in themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The way of the cross is faith in Christ. The way of the cross is forsaking self, and the way of the cross is a fulfilled service, beloved. The cost of the cross was too great. The debt was too high. But Jesus Christ paid the price. Friend, I'm going to close with this quote tonight and we'll be done. It was the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the pastor of London's Metropolitan Tabernacle, said this. He said, Jesus had many lovers of His crown, but few bearers of His cross. Will you bow your heads with me tonight? With every head bowed, every eyes closed, we're talking about the cross of Christ tonight. If we're to look at this week as the world is recognizing, we saw Palm Sunday just before us here the other day, a few days out. Here we are at the midweek, the day when Jesus Christ was crucified. He was murdered upon the cross there. He died for our sins. No man took His life, but He laid it down Himself. He said if He lays it down, He'll take it up again. And in 3 nights and 3 days, He proved it yet so. Because at sundown on Saturday, Jesus Christ rose yet again and yet lives evermore so that we have victory over the grave. Tonight, in the cross, we have victory over sin. Come 3 nights and 3 days, we see the victory over the grave.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.